Because the Bible nowhere commands us to get regular exercise, does that mean that God is not interested in it? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson, your host for this series on health and healing. My conversation partners are health professionals from the Walla Walla Valley, Carl Bauer, an MD with a specialty in gastroenterology and a master's in nutrition, and Donna Chin, an RN, registered dietitian, also with a master's in nutrition. Welcome to both of you again. Let's start with that question. I'd like to know what happens if the Bible doesn't tell us something specific. How do we decide that it is in fact a command of God? And we're talking here about exercise. That's the focal point of our lesson for this week.
I think God created us with minds in the similitude of His own, and He expects us to use those minds well. And there are things that are very explicit in the Word, and there are many other things that are just not mentioned in the Bible. And in those areas, we have to use the best judgment that we can derive from the best data that is available. And so I think we need to make choices about exercise as one of these areas where the best evidence available indicates very strongly that exercise is good for us and that without it, we atrophy. And so there is all kinds of scientific data that suggests that exercise is very important for good health.
Mm-hmm. Donna, how do you deal with that? If there's no command in Scripture, what do you do with your devout people? Will they just shrug and simply say, you can't tell me that. That's not in the Bible. Maybe you've never had an experience like that.
You know, I actually have not really given this particular one a lot of thought. I will tell you that my take on exercise comes from my perception that gardening was the original exercise, and it was not a topic of conversation. It was essential to life. You simply did this in order to survive. Mm-hmm. And so I can't see that it would be a topic of conversation at all.
In biblical times.
I will say that several years ago when I was in graduate school, we were all doing the golden standard of underwater weighing and checking our percent body fat. Very fascinating. I was interested and intrigued, and I was getting certified by the college, American College of Sports Medicine, to be an exercise prescriptionist. And I was all excited about this. So got it done. And the gentleman running the class looked at me and he goes, what do you do? I said, nothing. I don't do anything. Nothing particular. And as we talked, I realized that I did a lot. But I just didn't go out in that particular phase of my life. Several years early, I had run consistently.
So but he was asking you, what do you do for exercise?
Right, exactly. Yeah, what do you do for exercise? And I said, nothing in particular. And I realized I never took an elevator. And at that time, I worked in hospitals with significant floors. I said, you know, if I had a chance to ride my bike, I rode my bike. And when I walked with purpose. I never dawdled anywhere. And, you know, he and I were talking about this, and I said, I think that you're going to find in research someday that you don't have to say, I'm going to exercise 20 minutes a day at 80% of my maximum. I said, I think someday you're going to find that gardening was the best exercise, and that means spurts of things. That means you sprint up the stairs here, and you trot over here, and you are exercising, if you will, in your life and day-to-day, just mm-hmm. the way you live. And sure enough, a few years later, he called me up and said, the research is done. That's correct. It's actually more optimal for you to live that way. Mm-hmm. And so that was a huge aha for me when it came to exercise. It's more how you live and be, if you will.
Right. That's good. I agree. Unfortunately, a lot of the world's population lives in circumstances where they don't have the opportunity to garden. I love to garden, and Alden and I have an ongoing contest about who grows the best tomatoes. But the point is, if you have that opportunity, then it's wonderful. But there are just an awful lot of people who live in the big cities of the world where that isn't possible. And for them, some kind of orderly exercise program, I think, is important. I remember one of my professors in medical school who followed your advice of never taking the elevator and always going up the stairs, you know, and there were 8 floors in the hospital at Loma Linda, and he'd go the whole distance, and he was in great shape, you know. And so one can do it in ways other than some kind of prescription exercise plan. But anyway, I think as long as you do the exercise, it probably isn't terribly important how you do it, as long as you do it.
Yeah. Now, in that connection, I'd like to raise the next question. Within the Adventist community, there is a sense in which we really, at least in the Adventist community that I grew up with my parents, was pretty skeptical of sports. Now, I know what sports can do because I'm an incredibly competitive person, and I've decided that I'm one of the worst things for making me not be nice to other people is if I'm caught up in some kind of competitive event. So I know when Ellen White comments about the danger of sports and competitiveness, I know what that's like. But it seems to me that in the world, and for some of the reasons you mentioned, Carl, that there are people for whom sports and athletic activities is the only and perhaps the best way that they can get exercise. And so there again, maybe circumstances would make a difference. And Ellen White, speaking to a largely agrarian community where you could go out in the country and have your own garden, that's no longer the case for many people. Then we have to go to a second plan. And that involves, I think, probably some kind of program.
I think, for instance, Alden, one of the best examples I can think of are our inner city kids who, if there wasn't some kind of opportunity for them to play basketball or some kind of a sport, there would just be mischief on their hands. And so some kind of organized sporting activity provides them with an outlet to get the exercise they need and also to gain good health because of it.
Now, as we look at the need for us to get exercise, one of the questions I'd like for us to explore, and perhaps even at some length, is the importance of exercise being fun. Is it important that if we have to get exercise, that it ought to be something that's fun rather than something that's just hard work? And I think here, I'll be quite frank with you, I hate to do exercise by myself, especially jogging or running. It just drives me wild. But if I can be with other people and do things, then it is just great fun. I'd like some comments from you people on that particular issue.
Well, I haven't had the opportunity to play racquetball with you, but I understand from people who have that you're a mean racquetball player. And so I can understand the fellowship that you enjoy in that activity, and I think that's good.
Yeah.
Any type of activity in which we engage that involves other people strengthens our ability to relate to people and to interact positively with people, and that's a two-way street. It brings us a blessing, and it helps them.
Yeah. Now, Donna, give me your background on competitive stuff. Do you find this helpful, hurtful, or usually guys are much more into this, but there are occasionally women, you know, who are really intense on this kind of issue.
I have to honestly say that I was raised in a conservative home where, you know, basketball on Sabbath was not considered an option. And I can remember many years later, my cousin's kids would say, oh, we're all headed out to the basketball court on Sabbath afternoon. And I, you know, I had a toddler at the time and I blinked a few times. And, you know, I realized that, that life evolves and there are choices to make. And, and I am far less hard-nosed about some things as I've looked at classmates and family members and those sorts of things. Competitive sports, I would say the older I get, the less competitive I get. The more I'm interested in the fun and the interaction and the camaraderie, if you will, either with other parents, if I happen to be observing and cheering for, you know, a team. But I have to honestly say that that fellowship, if it happens there, I mean, a lot of people do say that that football is a religion. I have never belonged to that religion, but I understand some do. I I believe in fellowshipping,
yeah,
wherever that can happen. That said, I'm going to go backward just a smidge, because there have been times when I knew that I was the only person I could count on to do exercise. And when I was in graduate school, one of the ways I dealt with the high stress was I ran every morning by mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. There was people on the track, but I ran. And that, I can honestly say, you know, people say, well, I'll go to the gym if I have somebody with me. Well, the minute they don't go, then you don't go.
Right.
And I have to say that I told people, I said, you know, I'm the funniest person I know. I laugh at my own jokes. It's my time when I can actually meditate or think through things on my own. So there is actually some advantages to walking or jogging on your own, in addition to the fact that you can have an accountability partner. So both sides to that coin.
Yeah. I noticed when we first started playing racquetball, and this was many years ago, a number of theology people, John Dibdall, Jerry Winslow, Chuck Scriven, when we first started playing, we were very competitive. We would call hinders on the other person. But it didn't take very long before we discovered it wasn't nearly as much fun. That you just go there for the fellowship and give the other person the benefit of the doubt. It really transformed the whole attitude and the whole spirit of things. And I think that's an important discovery to make, that simply fellowship is a wonderful thing. And we ought to look at that direction. So what you're suggesting, Donna, coming back here, is that, yes, it's important that our exercise be fun, but there may be situations where you don't want to wait for something fun because you know that you need it.
Right. You have to. It has an alternate benefit.
In terms of ordinary people, what forms of exercise do you think, if you were just saying, you know, I need to get some exercise, what would you recommend? Walking, jogging, swimming, cycling, or any of those good?
Walking, I think, is the best exercise. And you can accomplish with walking any of the benefits that you can with any of the other exercises, to a degree at least. It may take a little longer, but duration is also an important element in exercise. Cardiovascular benefits occur with duration walking to the same extent that they do with running. And so I really think that we have to put in the time.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said in our hectic world that if you slow down and walk, then you get some reflection time built in, and that's really very good.
Yeah.
Now, there's one other feature I'd just like to mention here. I've noticed within the Adventist community, because we haven't done very much competitive sports, the adults tend to be very poor sports. When I was a pastor in Redlands, California, we had to quit playing a father-son softball game because the fathers were such poor sports. And I do think that, you know, I've had students tell me if you were in public high school, you'd never get away with it because they would call you on it. And I think it's important for us to learn how to get along with one another, not to be nasty, and a certain amount of exposure to that.
And how to lose.
And how to lose. How to win and how to lose. Both of those are very important. Well, our time is up. I want to thank both of you for helping with our discussion today. Next week, we will turn to water, the water of life. We'll have the same conversation partners. I want to thank Michael White, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For the Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson. If you are listening to this on the radio and would like to hear it again, you can. You can go online to the website for Positive Life Radio, plr.org. Look under Programs, Good Word, and there you will find us. You can listen as many times as you wish.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.